board unanimously approved. This would be the airport board. They put an ad in the paper for engineers for the next 5 years. Morris and Merrily responded. At the last airport board meeting, the board unanimously approved the request for Morris and Merrily to be the engineers for the next 5 years. So we're going to ask the board to put it on their agenda to approve Morris and Merrily as engineers retained for the next 5 years. From last summer, there were some items, some vehicles moved into the SRE building. We have been unable to take the plow off and put the brush on and not have room to put things. Since that time, they have moved the police van out, so now we can pull that out and get the truck leaks fixed and get the truck serviced, get that done. They've approved the OSI, which is the Operational Services, Inc. I saw the bill 1163-91. That fixed the AWAS and put it up for service, and it's good, I think, now for a couple of years. We also have the budget. Not much on the budget has changed. I sat down with April. We shifted things around a little bit. A lot of the things were $50 instead of $75, $75 instead of $100. The repairs and operational supplies, I think the repairs was $5,000. We cut that down a little bit. The reason we cut that down is because there's a request from the board to have discretionary funds of $3,000 that the airport board could spend for certain things they felt was necessary as improvements. One of them was a carport for the car. Another one was the repairs and budgeting for the lawn tractor to get it fixed and have the blade sharpened and fuel for the lawn tractor. As I go through this, does anybody have any questions on the budget? April was wonderful and helped me work up the budget, not having done one before. We moved things around. It's not increased, it's just shifted around a little bit. One question there. The council also talked about the utility payments for last winter on the heat on the SRE building. Prior to last summer, we had nothing in there. We did not turn the heat on. This last winter, since they've had the fire truck and other things in there, they've kept the heat on, which the airport has paid. We're going to ask the council, they've asked unanimously to ask the council, that if they retain the heat this next winter, y'all have to pay for it. I expect a smile or two, a smirk, something. We did not need heat, not a bad thing, everything likes heat, but we didn't need it for the plow truck starts fine. So if they retain the heat in this building, we do request the city step forward in some manner and shape and pay that. One of the last items that they talked about at the airport board was that on the upcoming improvements at the airport, there has been talk about putting a water and sewer system up there which needs a study done on it. There are TED funds from the taxes that are available. The board unanimously, strongly is going to ask the council not to use those TED funds for the water and sewer. There are hard, what we call, or what they call, hard asset improvements, such as the taxiway, such as the exit off of the taxiway, that are vastly, vastly more important for the logistics of the airport, for the use of the airport, than those items. Not that the water and sewer is not important, but in talking with the FAA and the board unanimously is going to ask the board not to use the TED fund for any type of a study for the water and sewer. Craig, do you have any other comments?
No, you can.
Okay.
I guess I do. ALP, Craig Thomas, 2189 Lane, Stevensville, Airport Board Chair, involved here today. The ALP outlines the plan for the airport as a draft because it has not been approved by the FAA. We expect that at any time now. And then the capital improvement plan that you have there would be in effect during the period of retaining this engineering group for the next 5 years, I believe it is. Those are the priority items that we need for an airport. It needs to have a runway, taxiways, and a parking area. We have a taxiway that is in disrepair. It's been since the 90s. It needs to be torn up and repaired as we did the runway. as well as the parking area is in the same condition. So those are the two items that are seriously in need of repair at the airport. Thank you.
I have nothing else to report to the board. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the council or the public for Mr. Obagi? Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Hi, Ray.
Thank you for what you're doing, Paul.
I do very little. The support that I've been given by everybody is outstanding. The people inside the office have been outstanding. Craig has been outstanding. Lorraine has been outstanding. Julie down south has been outstanding. Thank you very much. I'll take all the credit, but it's not mine. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. The building department report is included in your packet, as well as on the screen. Are there any questions on the building department report? All right, fire report. Chief Molly.
I believe the fire report's also in your packet. there's the March stats. So we had 41 EMS or rescue incidents out there in March. Five fires in March. More total for the year at 117 currently, as the end of March that is. 63 was the monthly tolls of requests for service during March. Kind of pretty much business as usual as far as the stats go. We are concluding our Firefighter 1 recruit training program. Next weekend is the last weekend of that program. Upon completion, we should gain 6 new qualified interior firemen. That's not 6 new to the roster, but that's interior qualified personnel out of that. Also, we've put the new 2010, one of the Pierces that we got from Missoula, we put into service the other weekend, so it's up and running in service. We've also got the ambulance in service. Supposedly the striping will be done by the end of the week, according to the email from Gene today, so hopefully that'll come through. But it is also in service, those pieces are in service. The other Pierce we got from Missoula will go into service probably next weekend. This weekend's pretty tied up with the graduation from the crew class, but it's ready to be put into service as well. So we'll get that into service, and then we'll be looking to put the international, the old 2010, on reserve and see if we can get that moved out of the parking lot up front and recoup some funds off of that. So that's a quick down here. It's going on with the fire department, other than the fence post burning seems to be in high flow right now. So we're still a little bit busy with doing that. And some grass fire stuff. Water's coming up, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with any flooding or anything like that. But we're prepared and ready to go. Any questions?
Questions for the chief? Ms. Holcomb.
So I'm understanding, I don't know, that they're expecting a above average fire season this year, so hopefully not. If it's any worse than last year.
Hopefully the fire season and frequency limits will remain the same. No kid, but yeah, it could be a good year. We'll just have to see how the snow all comes off and how things go. I mean, over the weekend they had some major range fires over the eastern part of the state already. Part of it was burning, part of it was flooding. So who knows?
Yeah, did you guys get any buyers for that pump truck yet?
We haven't put it up to surplus.
We haven't even put it up yet.
But we'll be doing that other than soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from the public for the fire chief? Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is guests. Are there any guests in tonight's audience that'd like to be recognized? Okay.
Yes. John Monk, 401 Central, Stevensville. As a guest, I'd like to compliment the board last week on their meeting of the whole. Did a great job. And there was one thing that came out that I listened to very closely, and that was what Ray said about the water situation. We're losing a million gallons a day. We're losing a lot of money. We pay for the pumping of that. And all of that's great. And then George was here and said one of the pipes had broken and they had to repair it. And it was a sieve. All of that, and I think we need to move the water situation to the top of the agenda. Because all the good trucks that we've been able to acquire and all the pumps won't make a damn bit of difference if the water fails. And we lose another, if they blow a main, we could be in trouble. So I'd like to encourage you to put that up someplace at the top of the agenda. I know we need a new swimming pool, and we need sidewalks, and we need lights and everything else. But if you don't have any water, and it might help us in the long run. Thank you.
We'll move on to correspondence. We have one item of correspondence that was included in your packet, and we have a number of items that are not in your packet but have come in since that we'd like to read. So, starting with the item from Peg Whitesit, I am in favor of the bed and breakfast at the Bass House, stipulation that the lot for designated parking be paved to provide at least 20 vehicles, and that there be no sale of wine and beer. Peg Whitesit. Next item comes from Vicki Vernon regarding the Bass House. The Bass House would make a wonderful bed and breakfast location. I support this effort. Laura Lee Bell sent correspondence. As a Stevensville resident for over 30 years, I support the Bass Mansion being used as a B&B. Kathy Dufresne, I fully support the effort that would allow the Bass Mansion to become a bed and breakfast. I know that requires zoning changes, but it would not create a lot of traffic or trouble to that neighborhood. Instead, it would bring back to life a historical home while bringing in revenue to businesses. Please support this opportunity. Amanda Schmidt states, I urge you to allow the Bass House to become a bed and breakfast. As an important piece of Montana history, it would be a pity to let it fall into disrepair, and it is imperative that the house generates an income stream to support the upkeep of this historic property. I understand that neighbors are concerned about noise. However, I would remind them and owe that noise ordinances are in place. Thank you for your consideration. Judith Loring, I am in favor of allowing the Bass House to be a bed and breakfast. Stevensville could really use something nice like that. Please approve their request, City Council and Mayor. Carol Wolseley Milkey, even though I am not a resident of the town of Stevensville, I am a Stevensville native. The Bass Mansion is such an iconic part of the Stevensville landscape. Anything that can be done to preserve it is a positive. Tourism adds a lot into the economy of this area. Visitors to the area would definitely enjoy a stay in such a historic location. I certainly hope the recent negativity of the council can be set aside long enough to make a positive decision. That concludes the correspondence. We'll move on to public comment. Public comment's an opportunity for public to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or within the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. You can also make comment on the specific agenda item once we reach it, if you'd like. Is there any public comment?
I'd like to comment on that.
If you'd come to the podium and state your name and address, please. Okay.
So, again, I'm Mark Bateman. I have the Stevensville Hotel. So my concern with this is we are a commercial business, and we are operating as a commercial business. I don't feel like it's fair. I'm not against him coming in with the Bass House. I encourage everything, but I want him to do it fairly and honestly. I don't think that they can get away with running something out of a residential unless you guys are going to change it to commercial. That's the only way I feel like it's fair to us. So if you allow that, then I'm going to change my status at our deal and go back to residential. So the city will lose taxes and the state will lose taxes on that deal. So I have the opportunity to go commercial or residential. He don't. So And I'm not trying to be negative about it, because we do need more housing and stuff here, but I want it to be honest, and I want it to be fair for us. I feel like he's paying less taxes, he's paying less insurance, and he's still getting to advertise it as a bed and breakfast, and he can't do that. Not legally. So, that's my comment.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any further public comment?
Is this comment on the proposed smoking ordinance in the park at this time?
So you can comment on anything you'd like now, or you can wait until that specific agenda item comes forward to comment on that.
Okay.
So if you'd like to wait till that agenda item to comment on it, you can. But anything else, you know, if you complain about a pothole, you're certainly welcome to do that at this time. Sir, come forward.
Doug Coffin, 105 College. And just while this is fresh in everybody's mind, a lot of those comments you read earlier, those folks don't even live near the property. So I thought it was within 500 feet was a public comment for that.
Anybody can comment.
Oh, okay.
On it. We just notify the people within 500 feet so that they have an opportunity to comment.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there any other public comment? Come on forward.
Nina Williams, 105 College, and I'm staunchly against approving the rezoning for the Bass Mansion becoming a bed and breakfast. It's residential, and I understand it's hard to keep up a mansion and that the value of that property, but I think it should be sold to some, to a family or people who aren't financially capable of keeping it up. Not, it shouldn't have to be run as a business in order to keep up the property. And I'm really against it, 100%. You've been there 20 years, and just, I don't want to see that. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll move forward. Unfinished business agenda item A is discussion decision, first reading of Ordinance 164, an ordinance prohibiting the use of tobacco products in town parks and recreation facilities. This has come before the council before in draft form, so I'll forego the formal reading of the ordinance unless someone desires otherwise. I'll just draw your attention to item 6 of the Tobacco-Free Parks Policy and Procedures, which is on the last page. The violations of the ordinance were outlined from the attorney. So Brian reviewed that. Mr. Smith.
I have one concern where it states that on all walking, hiking trails, so they wouldn't be able to smoke a cigarette as they're walking out the bike pathway out of town?
It's not annexed, and so, I mean, I guess technically no, they couldn't because it's within our jurisdiction, but I think our police department would likely use some common sense that they're probably not going to put their blue lights on in the middle of cutoff road to stop somebody from smoking on the bike path.
Well, sorry.
Mr. Smith, you're fine.
It does come down to enforcement across the whole issue, to be honest. It's great to try and, you know, institute these things, but again, we are going to run into a situation, I feel, along the road that what if we cite one person and, you know, 4 months goes by and somebody else is smoking but they're not cited. Again, it comes down to enforcement, so when he's there, he might be able to enforce it. When he's not, it's not going to be enforced at all. Not that I'm against it, I'm just, you know.
I think it may help to look at this ordinance. as maybe less punitive, meaning we have to have consequences with every ordinance. I mean, that's just the nature of having an ordinance.
But $300 for smoking a cigarette?
Not to exceed $300.
I understand, but still $300?
That's the judge's discretion. It's kind of standard language we use throughout our code.
Well, I understand the language, but what about the pricing? Could we not have reduced the pricing to a more realistic?
No, that's what I'm saying is that pricing, so to speak, is exactly, I mean, what we use throughout our code of ordinances for, you know, a parking ticket.
Parking ticket costs $300 in town?
If you park in the wrong spot and the judge doesn't like it, yeah. I would imagine. I'm not familiar with the judicial system enough to know that. That language came from the attorney's desk for your guys' request. But again, the intent of the ordinance from, as the Girl Scouts proposed it, was not to be punitive. It was or to, you know, interfere with enforcement, but, you know, to raise an awareness that we'd like tobacco-free parks. How would the council like to proceed? Ms. Holcomb.
Well, then my question comes back to, like, the greenery picnic or any kind of activity that goes on in the park. How do we, because there's going to be smoking. I mean, when you have beer, they're smoking. And I know a lot of the people that are vendors down there, they can't leave to go have a cigarette and leave their stuff unattended. So I'm just trying to wrap my head around this now that the Creamery Picnic and some other stuff happens down at the park. How do we can't enforce, I mean, we'd be fining everybody.
Well, I think to some degree, the smoking will just cease because we're gonna sign the park saying smoking isn't allowed, no tobacco use whatsoever. I mean, if there are violators, I guess in regards to the vendors, we aren't the only park or community with a tobacco-free ordinance. There's plenty of those out there, and so I would imagine that those people who travel from community to community in that fashion probably adapt themselves to those needs. There's nothing. I don't know for sure. I could obviously check with the attorney, but there may be a possibility that you could grant a lapse in the ordinance during special events. That may be language that needs to be added, and I'm not sure on that.
A waiver of some type?
Right. But on the other hand, you know, perhaps prohibiting smoking during Creamery Picnic would be in the better interests of the community.
Are you allowing comment on this at this time?
As soon as the council gives us some direction as to how we'd like to proceed. I'd entertain a motion at this time, if you'd like. Or some further direction.
I think we kind of need to put the waiver in there, so we probably should. This is more of a draft, or are we actually accepting this as the draft?
This would be a first reading, so you could make an amendment or you could make changes in this version that would then come forward for the second reading. The second reading would be the adoption after 30 days. Mr. Smith.
I would move that we make a motion to do the first reading of Ordinance 164, an ordinance prohibiting the use of tobacco products in the town, parks, and recreation facilities.
Just to be clear, you're making a motion to adopt?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Michelson?
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt the first reading of Ordinance 164, prohibiting use of tobacco products in town parks and recreation facilities. Is there any further discussion from the council? Mr. Smith?
I would just like to have those changes instituted into that to where we can at least have a waiver for those events or creating a smoking area for those events, because again, we are outdoors. If they put the smoking area at where they drink or whatever, that would be appropriate to me, because again, we don't allow children in there. And I understand the intent of this is to send a signal that smoking isn't good. So, I mean, I'm on board with this, but we have to be very cognizant that there are individuals out there that they need their nicotine. And especially while they're drinking. So, as long as we have those waivers in there and that sort of thing, I think we can move forward with it.
Is there any further discussion from council? Okay, we'll at this time take public comment on the ordinance. Again, come to the podium, state your name and address for the record.
My name is Scott Butler. I live at 210 Church Street. I guess I've been a little naive. I always assumed ordinances and laws were enacted with justification. We see intent to stop people from smoking, but what is the justification for this ordinance? You're willing to impose a penalty on citizens who have committed no harm on anyone else. If anyone can show me a scientific study that shows smoking in the park, the size of Stevensville Park, or any place in public, has the least effect on the quality of life of anyone else, I'd like them to produce that. I think if you're going to impose ordinances on people, you've got to have justification for it. You mentioned, how do we enforce this? How are you going to enforce it? Heavy fines? A $5 fine certainly is not sufficient to prevent someone from violating the ordinance. So are we going to impose $100, $200, $300, $400? At what point is this just and lawful and within the spirit of any law to impose these kind of financial hardship on citizens who have done nothing, who have harmed no one, simply lit a cigarette that some people find offensive? That is the place of the public square. I find many things in the public square offensive. Being an old guy, I've got to be kind of grouch. But that doesn't mean I can enforce laws against behavior that I don't agree with just because it offends me. If it doesn't physically harm me, I just have to keep my mouth shut. We talk about tolerance today. I think we're using the word tolerance to force tolerance on my behavior. Not to use tolerance in the word that it's intended for in the public square, we tolerate other people's behavior so that they tolerate our behavior. I mean, my biggest point here is you're willing to impose a hardship and really make criminals out of people who have done nothing. Is that the rule of the majority? To enforce criminality on a minority who have done nothing to harm someone else? What about the recalcitrant who says, no, I'm not paying the fine? You're going to send him to jail to enforce this? This may sound ludicrous, but such things happen. We need to be careful when we impose ordinances. Not just feel-good ordinances for Girl Scouts. We'd be better off studying the foundations of liberty instead of learning how to use mob rule to bludgeon the rights of the minority. Thank you.
Penny Howe, 4360, West 93, Stevensville. Number one, I commend the Girl Scouts for what they're trying to do. Number two, this is an unenforceable ordinance. It should not be on the books. Number three, by the unenforceability, you're asking for arbitrary and capricious decisions. Mr. Smith also already alluded to that. If I was a smoker, which I'm not, I don't chew, I don't vape, I don't smoke, I would, the first time that Mr. Marble's crew stopped me, I started watching, and when John Monk decided he was going to have a cigarette and you guys didn't stop him or give him, I'd be calling in. I'd be suing for arbitrary and capricious decisions being made in the law enforcement. If John Monk is mad at me and we're both down at the park and I decide to smoke a cigarette, he can call 911. I, as an outsider, And then we're going to start paying the taxes for the 911 calls that are going in because people are smoking. You haven't addressed what it's going to do. Mrs. Holcomb started to address what it's going to do with people at the Creamery Picnic. This is an unenforceable ordinance, period, without arbitrary and capricious decisions. And we know from past practice that arbitrary and capricious decisions get governments in a lot of trouble. So if the people of Stevensville are willing to pay what could come out of a discriminatory practice and then a discriminatory enforcement, then go for it.
Is there any further public comment?
Tanya Eckert, 106 College Street. I understand what the Girl Scouts are trying to do and stuff. I do, because if you're down there and you know the kids or the adults or whatever are smoking, they don't want to be a part of that, and I get that. I don't want my kids a part of that. We don't smoke, so therefore, when I'm at the playground, I don't want to smell somebody else's smoke. But I would hope somebody would be respectful and walk away. Maybe looking at doing an area for smokers or something. I know during Creamery Picnic, we got a call a couple of years ago from state saying that we cannot have smoking underneath our tent. So I did have to post no smoking under the tent. I don't know that you can really enforce smoking out in the public if it's not enclosed. I don't know if that's possible, and we don't have enough law enforcement around here. And I would highly doubt that our sheriff's department's going to come to a call like that. I would very highly doubt that. So a lot of it's unenforceable. So.
Okay. Any further public comment? Okay. Is there any more discussion amongst the council? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote on the motion. Councilperson Barker?
No.
Councilperson Holcomb?
No.
Councilperson Smith?
No.
Councilperson Michelson?
No.
Okay, first reading fails. Move on to new business. Discussion decision, planning and zoning board recommendation to approve a conditional use permit for a bed and breakfast at 100 College Street. Mr. Kellogg. We'll let you present the material. There's a lot of it.
Thank you, Mayor DeVay, members of council. For the record, I'm John Kellogg, chairman of the Planning and Zoning Board. On the 11th, we held a public hearing for a request by Mr. Morgenthal, who's in the audience here, represented by Craig Cyphers, to allow a bed and breakfast and an event location at the Bass Mansion at 100 College Street. We held the public hearing. Following the public hearing, the planning board entered some discussion over a major issue, which was the separation of the concept of bed and breakfast versus an event location. Event location is hard to define under our town zoning ordinance. Mayor Gooey, acting as the zoning administrator, did some research into this, and based on his research, event location would involve public participation, which in turn potentially would require either a, and I'll let you expand on this if you like, would either involve a rezoning or a variance application. So, in light of this, the board discussed this issue with Mr. Morgenthal, and with his consent, the board separated the two issues of the event location versus the bed and breakfast. Based on public comment and the issue of this hurdle of defining what an event location was through zoning, Mr. Morgenthal would were requested, and I think the board and staff understood that more study would be needed to determine what an event consisted of. On the one hand, folks are thinking an event is something as small as maybe a backyard barbecue. On the other hand, an event could be a public event at one of our town parks. And the distinction between the opposite ends of those things is something that is important for the town to consider and to research how an event location should be reviewed through our zoning ordinance. We felt that the conditional use permit was not the appropriate avenue to review that. So setting that aside and putting that on hold for now, the board continued discussion of the bed and breakfast issue based on public comment and based on our understanding of what the request was. The board recommended approval of the request to allow a bed and breakfast at the Bass Mansion with the following conditions. One, that the permit be non-transferable from the current owner. Two, that the owner obtain all required town permits for constructing parking spaces and other necessary improvements. And three, that the owner obtain a bed and breakfast license from the state of Montana. Again, separating out the event location, which is hard to define through our zoning ordinance, and the bed and breakfast is fairly well defined. So that the recommendation of the planning board then was in favor of approving the bed and breakfast for now and doing further research into the issue of what an event location would entail for this particular location. In reviewing the criteria for approving the conditional use, the board felt that the proposal is generally harmonious and appropriate design, character, and appearance with the immediate vicinity, that there are adequate public facilities, including streets, fire protection, water, sanitary sewer, that the proposal will not materially be detrimental to uses or property in the immediate vicinity of the subject property, and the proposal has merit and value to the community as a whole, since it will encourage the continued restoration and maintenance of this historic building. And that this complies with all zoning, development, and other applicable standards of the town of Stephensville on the condition that the owner apply for necessary permits as well as the Montana Department of Health and Human Services bed and breakfast licensing. The board felt that the location was unique in a sense in that it's a historic, substantial building that the acres that it's on, it's an acre and a quarter nearly, which is about six times the area of the adjacent residences. So this is a unique site. So the board felt that the approval of the bed and breakfast was appropriate at the location. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, John. How would the council like to proceed? Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the conditional use permit for a bed and breakfast at 100 College Street.
Is there a second? Okay. There is no second. Is there an alternative motion? Does the council care to discuss the matter further before formulating a motion?
I'd like to discuss it a little more myself, sure. Because from what I just heard is there's a lot of issues. We are going going to step away from the event portion of it, but we're going to go ahead and allow this, so, but we still need to do some research on this. I would much rather have our research done and have these answers that are out there, because again, we get back to changing from a residential to a commercial to a residential, and I understand that the board, that's what they're in place for, is to give these recommendations, but at the same time, I heard kind of a, pardon my French, hem-ha within it that was, yeah, it's kind of sort of okay, maybe it's not. And so I'd like to get us to where it's, yeah, it's a definite okay, the event's okay, everything's okay. Because again, what happens if we allow this conditional use and then we come back and find out that there's no event attainability? So what's the owner going to do at that point, I wonder? He's got a question.
Mr. Keller.
Expand a little bit. My apologies, I didn't start out with a basis for the conditional use request. Within our town zoning ordinance, part of the development code, there are tables that list uses that are allowed or disallowed within the various districts, and within the residential uses, under R1, the bed and breakfast is specifically identified as potentially a conditional use. I guess, so from that perspective, the planning board felt that there really was no, there's no equivocation. It's a conditional use if the planning board and you as town council feel that this is a unique enough site so that it is appropriate for bed and breakfast, then the conditional use is appropriate. On the other hand, this event location is not well defined in the tables. And as I said, Mayor Dewey did some research on this and found it was another
It was under our best interpretation of a event facility or an event venue was a public assembly space or a public assembly facility is how it was determined in the code. That's only permitted in a commercial zone. So that's why we decided to separate that issue off of this conditional use permit and consider that separately so that we could do further research into the best process that if the property owner felt strongly that they wanted a event venue on their property, that we could address that through a different process. So the only thing you're considering tonight is the bed and breakfast. You are not permitting or endorsing an event venue whatsoever.
So my apologies for not clarifying that, but the event location was the thing that raised questions in our minds. We are unanimously in favor of the bed and breakfast recommendation. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Ms. Barker.
I totally agree with the citizen, Mark, that stated earlier his business being commercial or, you know, being fair and honest about how he prioritizes his business as opposed to this, too. This also takes us back to the Hoffmans, who was also wanting to have a bed and breakfast at their location, and we had to turn that down. I think we need to look at all revenues on it and what our consequences could be on if we went ahead and moved forward. I think we need to, like Raymond said, have more information in a whole for us.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, you're asking for more information in regards to a bed and breakfast?
What the stipulations are on it and what regulations and I guess how it needs to be classified.
Okay. So our development code currently, as it's written and as it's been adopted since, when was it adopted, John? Late 2000s? The community, or the council, when they approved that development code, agreed that a bed and breakfast could be permitted in an R1 district. They allowed that. It wasn't automatically permitted, but based on the approval of the council, it could be permitted. To speak to the owner of the hotel and his concerns, the assessment of that property is what determines the taxes. So the tax assessor isn't going to necessarily look at how we zoned that district. They're looking at the use of that property. And so if the property is being utilized in a different way than we may have zoned it, they're going to take that into consideration when they assess the taxes. The difference is that the hotel is being run in the commercial district, or a commercial zone, is in fact a hotel, not a bed and breakfast. It's operating as a hotel. And I believe that the Hoffman family was requesting a vacation rental type of business, which we don't have any provision for in our code. So they're kind of all different circumstances. But I can empathize with the confusion. Ms. Holcomb.
Well, we heard a lot of letters from people that were for it that don't even live in around that building. And I only heard a few that actually do live by that building that were not for it. I'm a little leery about going towards the ones that are for it since they don't even live around it. I mean, they won't have to deal with the traffic, the noise, if there's any noise. I mean, I do know we have a noise ordinance. I would just like to see more study go into this.
Mr. Kellogg, could you kind of summarize the public comment that was given at the hearing?
Thank you. The minutes that I believe you've been distributing reflect that the public hearing was open with an explanation by Mr. Cyphers and Mr. Morgenfall. Mr. Nemrinson was generally in opposition to both sides of the issue, the bed and breakfast and the event location. Ms. Steffes was generally, as we understand, in support of it. Mr. Bateman has expressed his opinion this evening. Conrad Eckert, who was living next door, generally was not opposed to bed and breakfast, but was opposed to the event. Ms. Howe commented on the process of using a conditional use. Mr. Ludington was in support of the bed and breakfast, but had concerns over large events. Tanya Eckert had concerns with the event location. I don't believe at the hearing she commented for or against the bed and breakfast. Mr. Cawthon, who lives across the street, said he was generally okay with the bed and breakfast at the time, but was opposed to events. There was further comment from Mr. Nemrinson regarding it. And then you've got a series of emails in favor of the proposal from folks largely in town. I think Carol Mielke is out of town, but the others, I believe, live in town. So generally, the preponderance of the comments were opposed to the event location. If we took a tally for the bed and breakfast, it would probably be 3/4 in favor and 1/4 against, my rough guess at the numbers here. And there's been further discussion following the public hearing, I think, to expand on folks' concerns for or against it. And Mr. Bateman, in particular, I think, has expressed some additional concerns.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thanks.
At this time, we'd open it up to public comment. Just please step forward to the podium, state your name and address for the record.
All right, my name is Glenn Nevinson. I live in 108 Church. I'm opposed to the bed and breakfast and the event center. Okay, when that meeting was held, just so the council members that weren't here, it seemed to me that this was a very haphazard application. When there were questions put to the owner about ADA parking, he had absolutely, it seemed like he had no idea or no plan or business plan as to how he was actually going to do this with permitting and such. And I don't see how the council could even consider something like this if he didn't even know exactly what he was doing. I mean, someone on the council had to say, well, you needed this, you needed that, which he had no idea. I don't think this is appropriate for the neighborhood. And what I can't understand is, I went on the website with the tax rolls. I don't see his name on the tax bills. Does he even own this place? I mean, I looked on the tax bills, and it shows it's under a trust. I mean, he's wanting to run the bed and breakfast. I see on the tax rolls it's listed under a trust. And then you have an applicant that's a realtor. It seems to me that this is, it doesn't seem right. And for that, I don't believe this belongs in a neighborhood, in a residential area.
Thank you. Further public comment?
Tanya Eckert, 106 College Street. So I live right next door, and one of my big concerns was that, you know, if there was events there, I do have little kids and stuff. As far as, like, I think it would be a pretty cool bed and breakfast. We do have, ordinances for noise and stuff like that, so it would have to be 10 o'clock. Quiet time is at 10 o'clock. And I think these guys would be they'd be pretty good at that. They're cleaning up the place really well. It's going to be nice having some people in there that will actually clean the yard so I don't have a million leaves in my yard after I just got done spending 3 hours raking my yard. So as far as that goes, I think that'd be okay, and I was pleased that they did take that event location off. And I know that they had said that, you know, they might visit that later, but it would, as it sits, and if I'm reading the zoning stuff right, you can still do a bed and breakfast as an R1, and if he did any kind of event, it would have to go to over to commercial property. I, for one, am not in favor of that being right next door to it. So my question would be, we do have a bed and breakfast here in town. It is on the edge of town, so it doesn't involve really any other neighbors a whole lot, but what are they zoned at? That would be my question, and I don't know the answer to that.
I believe they're R1.
They are R1, okay.
Yeah, if they're not R1, they're R2, which is, they're one and the same, it's just the difference between multifamily and single family.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so those are my comments on that.
Okay.
I'm Craig Cyphers. I was the agent of the applicant for the petition, and I actually live in Corvallis, but I lived in that home for nearly 2 decades. I'm providing this map, and I'm going to give you a little bit of historic background. This home has been used in a variety of public ways for 100 years. It is a different than the other homes around it, for the most part, in not only size, but the area that it encompasses. You'll note that the state highway is to the north, multifamily to the east, and then, of course, residential to the immediate west. This home was run as a licensed bed and breakfast from 1985 to 1989. And no problems in the neighborhood. In fact, most of the time when activities take place at this property, it must be very quiet because the neighbors indicate they like to keep things quiet. And there have been quite large events there, even as late as August of last year. And nobody had any comment about that. I think those things, because of the size of the location, the house itself and the property, really mitigates any kind of impact to the neighborhood. Relative to the business end of it, the property is considered residential. However, they would have to pay, of course, the bed tax and the necessary items that would have to go with a licensed bed and breakfast, as it has been in the past, prior to the town zoning it. When I spoke to the zoning, planning and zoning board, this home really, in many respects, because of its location, could easily have been proposed as commercial. Well, we're not asking now for a rezone. We appreciate the concerns about an event center, despite the fact that events have taken place there for over a century with no immediate impact in the neighborhood. But if there were something that was happening with regularity, we could understand. That's why Mr. Morgenthau, Rob, said that he would be more than happy to separate him, and frankly doesn't have any strong interest in doing, I think it's fair to say that that's a big deal for him, but it just seemed like if you were going to have class reunions and weddings that have been taking place there for 100 years, that would be good to have the acquiescence of the council. And that's why we came to the council for the bed and breakfast, is to bring it back into compliance with that sort of use. So historically, it's been used as a bed and breakfast. We're asking it to be considered again on a special use permit that's just for Rob and Rhonda only, and would revert back with ownership. They do own the property. It's not owned in the trust. It is owned in under a contract for deed with a notice of purchaser's interest.
Okay. Any further public comment? Okay. Any further discussion from the council? Is there a motion on the floor?
There is, but there is no second.
No. Would another motion come forward, or we just move on? Is it the intent of the council to deny the permit?
I would prefer that we do a little more research personally, because I feel there is enough residents that are in favor of it to proceed with more evidence. But again, we get back to the event thing. Why would we need to separate them out if that's the whole intent, was to create an event center there? If we're going to have weddings there, we're going to have all, it needs to have an event tag on it. And so we're separating the issues when realistically we need to look at it as a whole, to where we can say this is the plan of this property, that they want it to be a bed and breakfast slash wedding site slash bar mitzvah slash everything. And that way the planning and zoning board can make a complete plan recommendation to us. And again, we get to part of the community does need to grow. We need business to come, but we need to make sure that we're doing it factually, shall we say, you know, and deal with the reset designation, so be it, of residential to commercial, and I understand the size, and I understand that it's been operated this way for many years, but personally, I just would like more information about this, and whatever it takes for me to get that information, I'm willing to do, so.
Just to clarify, the property owner first and foremost wants to utilize this as a bed and breakfast. The event venue does not doesn't hold any merit to whether or not it's a bed and breakfast. So
I understand that.
The primary use of the property would be bed and breakfast, and that's why he was willing to separate the event venue off of the permit and to consider that separately, so that in the event it was denied for the event venue only, he could still utilize it as a bed and breakfast. So that's his primary interest, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And I do have to go back to what Councilperson Barker said in regards to the Hoffman. The Hoffman came before council, before I was on council several years ago, and it was stated as a bed and breakfast, and that was turned down.
Okay, so if it's the request of the council to gather more information, then I'd appreciate a motion to that effect, and I'd appreciate if you were specific as to what research you'd like the Planning and Zoning Board to do further. Because they're going to need some direction on this if they're going to bring up. I mean, the thing we have before us is that the zoning and Planning and Zoning Board met for 2.5 hours, heard public comment, thoroughly worked through the permit, and made a recommendation to the board, so, or to the council. So if you're going to require them to do more research, they need to know exactly what that research is that you're asking for. Ms. Barker.
I'd like to see a completed application, not just see attachment. I want explanations on each one of these questions that are here of what needs to be done. There's no, it says see attachment, but you get look down through it, and to me, looking through the attachment, this application is not completed. I would like more detail on what those requirements are.
Okay. Ms. Holcomb.
Well, and I would like to see what they plan on doing with the property. Like it was stated that they didn't even know about parking or anything like that. I would like a detail on what their plans are. Because to go back to what Councilperson Smith and Councilperson Parker said, with the Hoffmans, the main reason they were denied is because their application was not completed.
Okay. Again, I'd seek a motion so that we can formalize this process and send it back to the Planning and Zoning Board. Mr. Smith.
I move that we take the application that has been submitted with the questions that aren't answered and have those answered and then brought back before council with the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Board after those questions have been answered, if that makes logical sense.
Okay. Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to have the application filled out in its entirety with complete details and then reconsidered at a future council meeting with the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Board.
Correct.
Okay. Any further discussion from council? Mr. Kellogg.
Question, is your intent to reopen the hearing, the public hearing, or to gain comment from the planning board?
Mr. Snyder.
I would like to see the questions on the paperwork filled out. If that's the case, that should give us more definitive answers to the majority of the questions, because again, we get down to What is the overall intent going to be down the road? And so are we making, again, yes, I know we've separated it as a bed and breakfast and then maybe down the road an event thing. Why don't we look at that as the whole perspective? And maybe it does require another public hearing to actually have a plan of what the overall plan is. You know, again, we get to parking. How are we going to, that is all part of the development plan that, as a council person, I would like to see what the development goal is. I understand it's a historic house. We need to keep it within the historic registry and what is done to the house. But there are multiple things that can be done to the property. You know, we throw in a 40-car parking lot now into a residential neighborhood. Or, you know, are we going to have outbuildings that would accommodate the events that are going to be there? So there's, to me, there's more questions in regards to the development aspect of it itself. And so I don't know if that would require me to ask you for another public hearing or not.
Go ahead, John.
I have a suggestion that then I believe what might be helpful for you is to have a public hearing solely on the issue of the bed and breakfast rather than getting the event center question, muddying the waters. And that's a better result.
It's going to be muddy no matter what until somebody actually comes out and says no event center, or you know what I mean? Because again, we're trying to establish a bed and breakfast, which I'm not going to say it's a hotel, but it has the same genre, shall we say. Somebody's going to come stay here, spend the night. They're going to come through town. They're going to do their thing. Okay. What is the development long term? Again, we get back to, are they going to 5 years, 2 years, a year from now come back and say, we want the event center, we want to have big weddings, we want to have bar mitzvahs, we want to have the, so kind of just like and I don't even want to say their business plan, but just a development plan of the intent of the project. Again, we get back to the questions weren't answered is, are we going to have a 20 car parking lot? What are those requirements? And they haven't been answered until those answers are attained. I don't see how I can personally give it the conditional use, because again we get down to we're granting permission for them to start doing something when we don't know what they're really doing.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any further public comment on the motion on the floor? As a reminder, the motion on the floor is to seek the question, ask the questions are completely answered by the applicant, and it's brought back with the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Board. That's the motion on the floor. We'll take comment. Yes.
It seems to me the waters are getting muddied again. Okay, right now, as much as I'm opposed to it, right now, the thing before the town council right now is strictly the conditional use as a bed and breakfast.
Correct.
So therefore, Robin had questions about how they plan to proceed with a business plan with the bed and breakfast. So therefore, the motion that you put forward should only refer to the bed and breakfast. The other councilman, he's asking about this event center, you're muddying the waters again, and you're spread it out where nothing is defined. So in my opinion, your motion should strictly refer to this bed and breakfast and not even mention that event center, because they were willing to separate that. And the only thing before the board right now is the bed and breakfast.
That's correct.
So you couldn't even get it seconded. So then the motion should be denied. End of story.
Ms. Parker.
My question or addressing was to have the application filled out in its entirety, which is here. The only thing I see on this is the C attachment. It doesn't have anything else in the lines. A adequate public facilities, including streets, fire protections, water, sanitary, sewer, and etc. That's not filled out. This is what I want to see, is this application brought back to us with specifications on what they're looking for that, what it says on here, bed and breakfast, event location.
Okay. And the attachment did delineate each of those questions, just it was in more of a narrative format than answering them formally. Okay, Mrs. Eckert.
So, when we went through this, my understanding was they were going to take the event part out. They gave them the option to come back and look at it at a later time, but have to go through, basically have to go through the application again without paying. That was my understanding of it, but we're just looking at bed and breakfast right now. To answer the question as far as Tom goes, he is not a bed and breakfast, he is just a bed. they are not a bed and breakfast. And I know that. So anyhow, that is my understanding of it. And if you look at bedrooms and stuff, really you're only going to have, if they're staying in one, you're only going to have four bedrooms to fill. So you're only going to have four vehicles. Probably won't have any more than that. So to be on that, like I said, bed and breakfast probably, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Mr. Motley.
So back to the motion that is on the table. When I received this application as a fire chief and read through it, I saw the same thing, or said see attached. I went down through the attachment. I answered all the questions in the application for me to my satisfaction. I have no problems with it. So I think the information is there in a little different format than what you might hope to see in the line-by-line item. But the information is all there.
Thank you. Mr. Smith.
I have to agree with the gentleman that spoke. I didn't catch his name, but basically, I would withdraw my motion completely at this point.
Okay. Stacy, you seconded it. Do you consent to the withdrawal?
Yes.
Okay. We'll start over. Is there a motion on the floor? Or is there a motion coming forward from the council? Mr. Michelson.
I started the motion. It was not a second.
Correct. And since then, we've made a motion and it's been withdrawn. And so we're back to square one as to how does the council want to proceed in a motion format. I'd like a decision from the council on how you'd like to proceed on this conditional use permit for a bed and breakfast. Mr. Smith.
I would like to make a motion that we accept the Planning and Zoning Board recommendation to approve the conditional use permit for a bed and breakfast at 100 College Street.
Is there a second? Mr. Michelson.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the Planning and Zoning Board's recommendation to approve a conditional use permit for a bed and breakfast at 100 College Street. Any further discussion from the council? Is there any public comment on the motion? Go ahead and come forward.
I hope you guys are happy with this. If there's a 20-car paved parking lot, you don't have any indication what ADA, fire suppression. Nobody has a plan. You just approve something that nobody has an idea what's going to happen. And I have a place right across the street. Maybe I'll apply for a bed and breakfast. I have four bedrooms. So
I did it.
Okay. Any further public comment? Okay. Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Excuse me. Go ahead.
We've been at 105 College for 20 years, and contrary to what Mr. Sniper says, there haven't been
weddings, funerals, class reunions, like on a regular, constant basis. It's been pretty much empty, except for the families that have rented it over the years. And it's a pretty peaceful, quiet neighborhood. It's historical. Our house is over 100 years old, too. It's just going to be annoying. I think it's a sad thing that everyone's looking for the almighty dollar these days. There's other qualities.
Okay. If there's no further public comment, we'll go ahead and have the council vote. Councilperson Holcomb?
No.
Councilperson Smith?
No.
Councilperson Barker?
No.
Councilperson Michelson?
Yes.
Okay. Motion fails 3-1. next item on the agenda is approval to submit a CDBG grant application. Lorraine Roach from the Stevensville Main Street Association is here to present.
Between the town of Stevensville and the Ravalli County Economic Development Association. And this is essentially part two of the project that you all approved last fall, and the grant that was submitted from the town to the Montana Main Street program. The town was awarded $10,000 from that program. The town committed, with Mayor Cruz signing the letter of support, the town approved $5,000 for match. So we have a total of $15,000 local match, meaning local and the state grant, toward this federal grant, which was written in to the original grant application, that the next step would be to go after the federal funds for the balance of the project. So the project is the market analysis, which was the phase one, the $15,000, plus the downtown master plan, which includes the assessment, working with the park board on the parks, and our site plan for River Park, and then the water and sewer assessment at the airport, because the current water system or water provisions at the airport do not provide fire suppression or water sufficient for the firefighting crews that come in the summer. And I will add, I've been talking with the airport folks, and none of the TED money would be used as part of this proposal. So the funding to pay for the water and sewer assessment, the engineering report, would only come from the block grant funds, not from any TED funds. So there wouldn't be any airport money put into it.
Okay. And just as a side or a point of clarification, when we first brought this forward, Julie Foster was here, and you know, we had agreed that we combine these grants. Julie's still traveling, and because of the deadline of this grant, we went ahead and brought this forward today. She'll be back in town tomorrow.
Right.
And so Lorraine will work with her to make sure that she's content with the findings in the application. How would the council like to proceed? You're free to ask questions, too, if you'd like, before you make a motion. It's okay. Ms. Holcomb.
So if we don't hear Julie Foster's side tonight, how are we going to hear if she agrees to this? I mean, if we approve this tonight and she doesn't approve on what's going on in here, it's already a done deal.
Well, she and I already coordinated before she left. And so the budget and everything that's in here is what she approved.
Mr. Smith.
Well, after hearing the airport board, there seems to be some dissension within the plan itself, the grant itself, is the way I'm understanding it, that They're not looking to have that assessment done for water and sewer now. It looks like they have more prioritized issues. So I would wonder why we would proceed with that portion of the grant and not, again, like this conditional use permit, separate them out at this point, because the board gave their opinion in regards to having a water and sewer assessment. Is there a way that, and again, I know this is federal and paperwork and time is of the essence and all of that, but the fact that you have a board now saying that, you know, that it's kind of a waste of funding, shall we say, to get an assessment that in their minds is going to cost us $40,000 to have a piece of paper that tells us, yeah, you can run sewer and water up there, but it's going to cost you $3 million. You know, these are those priorities that we need to start focusing on, water, sewer, sidewalks, streets. But to spend $40,000 to have somebody tell us that it's going to cost us $3 million to run a sewer up there, which is going to take another 10 to 15 years to even happen, I kind of, it's moot. And so I would highly recommend that we kind of take the airport out of it and see what Julie and them think of that, but I don't know how we would approach that, so that's just my comment.
So I think the intent of the preliminary engineering report was to some degree address fire suppression. We're still required, whether the airport wants a water system up there or not, we're still required to provide fire protection to that district or that area. However, if there are other funding opportunities available for a preliminary engineering report, and so if it's the council's wish to pull that piece of it out, we would just obviously reduce the amount of money we're asking from CDBG, respectively. Mr. Smith.
Well, what I'd actually like to see is an engineering report to see what it would take for us to... We have a well there that's established. We could build a tank down in the some area within the ALP that would provide the pressure necessary, because, again, we're only fire suppression for the airport. We're not for anybody around the airport. Again, if the, you know...
The preliminary engineering report would take into account all of those options. It would take into account the option of running our own lines from downtown to the airport. It would take into account the option of utilizing current existing infrastructure up there. It would take into account any option available to us. That's what the engineering report does. It says, here are your options for providing water at the airport.
I understand that, but I think if we gave them a generalized focus, it would behoove us to look at that, because, again, we get down to, we're spending $40,000 or better.
$20,000.
Okay, but that's still $20,000 that could be, at this time, you know, utilized within getting the water fixed down here, getting some of the issues that, again, we're 4 miles out. Even though we annexed the airport and we own it, and this is another off-topic issue, but the airport is part of the town. And I don't understand why we keep thinking that they're a separate entity, that the fire truck shouldn't be up there because it's not part of the town, or it's the airport, or it's the town. And we need to start, you know, looking at that they have their ideas of what their priorities are. And so I just, again, if that is part of the engineering assessment, again, I think we're assessing something that at this time we would be better served to take. We just did the ALP plan, what, in 2016, 2017?
Should we just pull it out? My understanding is the airport's concern was they didn't want TED funds, airport funds, to go into this, which they are not.
Craig, tell us, what happens if you do something, if you make a study up there, and you decide that you're going to have a well up there? It's going to be elegant, it's going to cost 10 grand to build a 6-inch well, right? That's what's going to happen, all right? You will have to increase the lease rate of the user fees and the business fees that the airport pay for it. The money comes from the town. We have to pay for it up there. That's how that works.
So if we could focus on the CDBG application, I think what Ms. Roach is asking is it the desire of the airport board or the council, for that matter, to pull the preliminary engineering report out of the project?
It's the intent of the airport board not to have money that is currently in the budget to be spent on a grant study. If that doesn't apply, it's a moot point.
Okay. Ms. Holcomb.
And what you're saying right now, let me get it quickly. What I understand that you're saying is there is no money coming from the airport for this study.
Correct.
Because what happens when you do a study, you're going to get a piece of paper to make a recommendation for somebody to do something. And the money is gone. You have a piece of paper and a recommendation. We have been through all the engineering stuff up there at the airport. We spent many tens of thousands of dollars from Warsh and Beverly and other engineering groups to do that. To do the ALP, that did not take into account to be an annex in 2013, which changed the situation. But the airport is not interested in spending any money on a grant to study something. If it's going to be for concrete or asphalt or steel, we're interested in that. If you can provide funding that studies this without taking money from the airport, we have no concern with that.
Okay. Ms. Holcomb, did you have a...
Well, I know that at the TIF TED meeting, Julie had brought it up that, you know, the CDBG money could be used for helping up at the airport, you know, with bathroom fixings. Nothing against Main Street Association, but I would like to see the CDBG money to go towards something that's already bringing money in. So that's why it's hard to make a decision here without Julie being here as well, because I'm not hearing both sides.
I don't think there are sides to hear. I think it's one solid project that we're cohesively working on with there's facets to it. I mean, there's different projects, but it's one umbrella. There's no sides to hear in this. It's not one organization competing for money from the other. It's where we've got one pot of money and we've divided it amongst the different pieces or aspects of this project.
Well, and I would like to see that it helps the town. I mean, sidewalks need to be fixed, and there's issues. Not to put... I mean, is this part of going to this visitor's kiosk thing that we're talking...
No.
Okay, so...
The application delineates exactly where the funding goes. Mr. Smith.
When was the most recent, didn't Main Street just do a master plan for the town recently, or a development plan or something of that in 2016 or something?
The town did a growth policy, which they're required by state law to do.
With Main Street and Association and that sort of thing too.
What the Main Street Association did is that they requested a grant from the Montana Department of Commerce to help pay for the growth policy so that the town didn't have to foot the whole bill. That was what the Main Street program did.
So this growth policy doesn't address these other issues that we're going for here with the downtown situation? I'm just wondering.
The things that are in this project are things that the growth policy recommended as next steps. And the grant that this particular grant is money from HUD, from U.S. Housing and Urban Development, that is specifically for planning. So it can't be used for sidewalks, it can't be used for those other, we could go after other grants for those other things. This particular grant can only be used for planning. And so the what we're proposing, that if the funding is awarded to the town, I mean, this isn't the Main Street's grant application, it's the town's grant application. I just assisted in writing it. But what the interest of the business community is that in order for existing businesses to grow and be more profitable, in order for new businesses to come in and be profitable, they need more data about the market and how the market has changed here. And so a key piece of this is the market analysis that will give us the data that we can then use to say to the existing businesses as well as new businesses, here's more information to help you with your business plans and with your decisions about what kinds of products and services might be most successful here. Since nationally, markets have changed dramatically and the population here has changed dramatically in the last 10 years. And so that's going to give the existing and potentially new businesses more information to make good business decisions. At the same time, it allows us then to take a look at the existing uses in the downtown, where we've got existing buildings, vacant lots. Where do we have opportunities for infill development, for increasing the tax base, for additional housing development in the downtown, because people who live in and near the downtown spend more money in downtown than those who commute in. And then the third piece of it, other than the airport, is a site plan for River Park. And since now with the Fort Owen ranch owners donating money to Fish, Wildlife and Parks, donating the land, and then Fish, Wildlife and Parks doing planning for the fishing access site, this gives us a chance to work with Fish, Wildlife and Parks and plan with them what's going to happen with that whole area, that whole waterfront area with River Park and with the fishing access site and with the old dump site. And so that allows that to become a much bigger and better community amenity using funds that HUD pays for, instead of having to pay for all of it ourselves as the town.
And I understand how grants work, and it's free money, but it's still $20,000 for us to get that free money. Secondary to that, I think the River Park development is kind of moot, where I personally feel that we should get with the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and let them, especially after what they presented the other day with their proposals, in essence, lease all of our River Park to them at $1 a year with stipulations that it's never developed back that way. And that way it does become one cohesive program, that it kills the fishing access site, it kills the birds, it kills the picnicking, and we get the camping up on the other side from the donated land, and it just creates one big, huge swath of undevelopable land that would be the most awesome recreational site along the Bitterroot. And so I get down to, there's components to this that I really like and I think are vital, but then there's components that I think could wait. And again, this is just my personal opinion. I don't know what the rest of the council feels, but when it comes to that motion of the CBD grant, we still have one other option when it comes time to say no, because we have not received any money, and we have to say yes to the money when we receive it. Or are we saying yes right now that we're just going with it?
Tonight we're asking that if you approve, we're asking for the approval of the application to submit and ask for money. There's no guarantee that we'll be awarded anything.
Honestly, I understand
so
that.
So when the notification comes to say yes, you were awarded this grant money, then the acceptance.
Then we come back for another vote, correct? we would come back for another
vote. If that's the desire of the council.
Well, so then what you're telling me right now is we vote on this, it's done. We get the money, if we get awarded the money, it's done.
Yeah.
We don't have another chance to come back and say, well, wait a minute, we didn't. So, okay.
Not unless you put stipulations on it to say that once an award letter is received, that we come back to accept the award letter.
Yeah.
And you can certainly do that. I mean, you're certainly within your rights to do so. I mean,
that's the other question.
Could the council form a motion so that the public knows what they're commenting on?
Well, I make a motion that we approve, or for the approval to submit the CBD grant application.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it for discussion purposes.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the submittal of the CDBG grant application. Further discussion from the council? Public comment. Mr. Thomas.
Yes, you provided additional clarity tonight, which I did not understand or we did not understand before. The reason that the board is so interested in not having the airport money go for non-aviation uses is if you get a match from the federal government up there for every dollar you have, you get 9 more. And let me explain that a little bit. We had a pilot lounge opportunity up there. And for $1,200 a year, we could pay the utilities free of charge. We could put couches in there. When we sit down and figure it out, we spend $1,200 there. The federal government will match us with $10,800 for a total of $12,000 in asphalt and steel. Well, that's how come we're so concerned about having a new planning. The clarity that you provided tonight is that there's none of that money being utilized and this is a community effort to go forward. The part that the airport provides is there's some ground there where you can have a well, which would provide utilities for the fire department so that they can service our community on the top of the hill with a 20-minute saving to the fire fires and things like that. That I see, I can understand that part. Okay. Then there's other pieces that come into the play. But that's the reason that we're so concerned. We get a 9-to-1 match on the airport. This is talking about a 1-to-2 match for information. If it does not utilize money in the airport, fine.
Thank you. Further public comment. Ms. Motley.
Vicki Motley, 318 Knight Street. I'm also part of the park board. Part of this grant was not just to do the River Park site. It was to do all park assessments so that we could make a master plan for the town of Stevensville for all the parks. Not just River, that was part of it, but also for Lewis and Clark, for Father Ravalli, for Creamery Garden, for veterans. So it's not just River Park. It was presented to us that it was going to be all of the parks that they would be reviewing in this plan and helping us come up with a way to come up with a master plan that made sense. We've done an assessment on the parks, but this was going to be an additional key that we did not have that we felt would be very valuable to the park board.
Thank you. Any further public comment on the approval of the grant application? Mr. Tadvik.
Jim Tadvik, 509 Mission Street. Does the town of Stevensville even have $20,000 they can afford to do this?
Yes, we've got just over $40,000 in our economic development fund.
Okay, there's one set aside.
There is. And that fund was established through leftover CDBG grants. Back in the day, they'd cut you a check, and whatever you didn't spend, we could stash, and so that's what we've done.
And I apologize. I don't understand this at all. It's in the grant. But as far as new businesses and that, usually when somebody comes to Stevensville to start or look at business, they'll go to the bank, they'll make have business plans, they can go to the SBA, that type of thing. You know, I just think money could be spent better places. But again, that's up to you guys.
Further public comment. Mr. Keller.
quick comment. The preliminary engineering report, part of that is a necessary step if you're going to the next stage and request grant funds to implement part of this. Without the preliminary engineering report, we can't apply for those funds. So, and I should say I'm conflicted because PCI will probably apply.
Okay. Any further public comment on the approval? Any further council discussion? Proceed to vote. Councilperson Michelson.
No.
Councilperson Smith.
No.
Councilperson Holcomb.
No.
Councilperson Barker.
No.
Okay. Motion fails unanimously. Before we move on, because of the time sensitivity of this application, are you opposed to submitting an application at all, or are there revisions in this application you'd like to see? Ms. Barker.
I think there should be some revisions in some of the application itself.
Mr. Smith.
Well, I have to kind of disagree. That's why we have park boards and things, is to do these master plans, because again, we're a small community. We do realistically have three functional parks, if you want to call them functional parks. River Park, Lewis and Clark Park, and Father of Valley Park. Those are the only three parks that are physically parks. The other parks that exist are backyards of residents' houses that basically extends their backyard, and we do the mowing and maintenance on it and get no usage for the public out of them. The Veterans Park, to me, is a memorial park, which should be kind of held under the cemetery and that genre, because again, it's a veterans park. You don't really go to play soccer in that park. You go there to memorialize on the 4th of July or Veterans Day or 9/11. So again, to me, those are the separations. We need to get rid of those as parks, realistically, and concentrate on what we do have as parks, because what we do have as parks, Lewis and Clark to me is tapped out on literally anything. We can't put any more equipment in there. The only improvements we can really do is a new pool. We want to keep all that other land for creamery picnics, soccer, so on and so forth. Father of Valley Park.
Can we relate it back
well,
to
that? Well, I'm relating it back to that.
We're trying to do plan. We're talking about planning funds for our program.
Never mind.
Does the council have anything further to put forward? All right, move on. Next item is discussion decision on resolution 2424, a resolution establishing user fees or use fees for the Stevensville Municipal Swimming Pool.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
There was a comment that there was interest in seeing changes in the grant application. Mm-hmm. Is that moot now? Should I not worry about that?
I didn't hear anything come forward.
I don't know why, to tell Julie when she comes back tomorrow. She was assuming we were going to have a grant application to turn in next Monday.
Yeah, I agree. The council didn't put forth anything in the term of changes that they'd like to see. If the council would like to reconsider, we can back up the truck a little bit. I'm not seeing a lot of interest. So I'd say we're moving on, right?
Okay.
Thank you for your time. Okay, resolution 424 is a resolution establishing use fees for the Stevensville Municipal Pool. These fees will be effective for this summer and any subsequent summer unless we change the fees again. The Park Board reviewed this and unanimously approved the fees as they were written. Is there a motion from the council? Ms. Barker.
I make a motion for, where do we go? I just lost it.
C.
Resolution number 424, a resolution establishing user fees for the Stevensville Municipal Swimming Pool.
Your motion is to adopt resolution 424?
Correct.
Okay. Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt Resolution 424, Resolution establishing use fees for the Stevensville Municipal Swimming Pool. Any discussion from the council? Any public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
This item is discussion decision on the consent to mayor's reappointment of Maureen O'Connor as city judge. Given the time, we thought it would be prudent to put this forward now versus waiting until the 11th hour. You'll see a response from Mr. West in the packet in regards to the reappointment. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we consent to Mayor's Dewey's reappointment of Maureen O'Connor as city judge.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
It's been moved and seconded to consent to the mayor's reappointment of Maureen O'Connor as city judge. Is there any discussion from the council? Mr. Smith.
I agree with you that we should reappoint her because to me, we have come a long way in the city court with her good work. We seem to be getting things accomplished. And I just don't see any need for us to go to try and get somebody else into the judge's position to interview. I mean, that to me comes with other issues that can open a can of worms, but I'm just one person. So I just think that she's doing a fantastic job and that we should just reappoint her as the city judge and go from there.
Okay. Any further council comment? Any public comment?
Penny Howe again. I have interviewed for this job, and during my interview, I was asked specifically if I was appointed, if I was ready to run again. I've been sitting in the background thinking, wow, I could run for this job. And now you're going to circumvent the whole election and the people being able to express their voting abilities. So, like I said, I was told during my interview that it was going to be an elected position at the end of the term. So, I've been sitting in the background thinking, do I run or don't I?
Any further public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Thank you. Next agenda item is discussion decision suspending the council rules regarding May 28th council meeting date and being a holiday. So 28th happens to fall on Memorial Day. I don't think you guys want to meet, and so unless you want to, I'd suggest we have a motion come forward to suspend council rules and cancel that meeting date. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we suspend the council rules regarding May 28th council meeting date being a holiday.
Is there a second? Councilperson Barker.
Second motion.
It's been moved and seconded to suspend council rules regarding May 28th council meeting date being a holiday. Is there any discussion from the council? Public comment? Okay, and then we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Concludes the business end of tonight's agenda. Things to run through on the executive report. Interviews for the town and court clerk position were held on Friday and today both. I appreciate Mr. Smith's attendance and participation in the process. We had four applicants, one of which withdrew after the interview on Friday. It's my hope to have a final candidate selected by the end of the week to bring forward. At the last meeting, I reported that an application asking the governor to declare three census tracts in Ravalli County as opportunity zones, allowing tax breaks for capital gains investments, was submitted. The requested tract in which Stevensville lies within was not nominated by the governor's office. I received that information today. You may have noticed students came to Lewis and Clark Park last week to help with cleanup efforts. It's a student leadership project. The event was successful, and I appreciate the work of the students and staff at Stevensville High School put into the project. You may also have seen a press release coming from Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. They'll be holding a joint scoping meeting with our park board regarding the fishing access site at the river, and they wish to gather public input as to how they want the site to look and function, and they'd like the participation of the park board in that process. So
when does that mean?
That'll be held
on May 2nd
at the high school, 7 o'clock.
At high school? In the lunchroom?
In the lunchroom, yep.
You're
welcome. Public Works is continuing with the final process of spring cleanup. We've still got a few places to pick up piles at around town, but I think that program was successful again. 3rd Street's been swept in the commercial district and was striped for parking last night, so that project's off the list. Sunday I'll be attending the Firefighter Academy graduation to congratulate 6 of Stevensville's firefighters who recently completed the local recruit academy. That'll be held here at the fire station. And lastly, all community members, I'm encouraging to attend our community cleanup event on Saturday, starting here at 10 a.m. Tree planting will take place, lunch is provided. Special thanks to Mr. Smith for his dedication to the event and cooperation with the park board. It's coming together very nicely. That's all I have for the executive report. Council comments. Mr. Smith.
Oh, I can make the board report.
Okay. Ms. Holcomb.
Not to be a continue person to complain about things, but last Monday at our Cal meeting, I just want to bring up that a Cal meeting is something for the mayor and the council to come together. It's a workshop. You allow people to bash us and yell at us when there is no public comment on the agenda. So in reality, everybody was out of order. There should have been no public comment allowed at that meeting. I just want to make you aware of that. And I've been getting all these emails about this kiosk, and I don't remember this ever being approved. I don't hear much more of it, but all these emails, I wish we'd been hearing on the executive report, but I haven't been hearing anything. I'm not sure who approved it to be at the Veterans Park. I know we didn't. And I don't understand why they would want it to have it at a Veterans Park when it's right next door to the Main Street Association, where all the information is already located. I think that is all I had.
Ms. Howe, the public comment period of the agenda has passed. I apologize.
Okay. I just had some input for that.
Any further council comment? Ms. Barker.
I know that Officer Fawcett is on administrative leave. Do we know how long he's going to be on administrative leave?
We do not.
Is he getting paid for being on administrative leave?
Yes, he is.
Okay. But he's not working right now, so shouldn't his car be parked in front of the town hall?
He's on leave, so he's off duty. If you prefer his car be parked in front of town hall,
I believe it should be because he is not on duty right now. So I'd like to see that happen. Who is covering our SRO position at the school right now?
Officer Jessup.
Okay. And are we seeking any other information for help for Marble? Because I know he's on like duty as well. Do we have somebody that's helping with town patrols at this time, or?
The sheriff's office is assisting as they can.
Okay.
Any further council comment?
I just would like to thank the park board for allowing me to help them out with the Arbor Day. It's a fantastic thing. I'd really like to, if you could, Mr. Mayor, provide me with who I would send a thank you letter to the high school for what the kids did down there at Lewis and Clark Park, to really congratulate them, because I think what they did was a fantastic thing.
Board reports. Ms. Barker.
For board report for the park board, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks came and gave a presentation on the upcoming fishing site held down at the river. There will be a public meeting, of course, others have said already, May 2nd at the Stevensville Multipurpose Room. Cinda Holt came and also gave us a presentation on the kiosk. A lot of questions were asked about the positioning and the placement. And then we've also talked a lot about the master plan. And we're going to hopefully finish up with some of that with warmer weather coming and being able to get some other stuff done. Again, thank you for the Arbor Day celebration that Raymond Smith is involved in. It's going to be on April 28th. Raymond is still looking for volunteers to help with the event, and it starts at 10 and goes till 2.
Any other board reports? Mr. Smith.
Airport board, they went and we had a meeting. They're basically really looking towards this airport capital improvement plan. They've elevated their focuses to draw council's attention to these, so I would ask my fellow council members to take a look at them, and let's see what they think.
Any other board reports? Is there a motion to adjourn? Ms. Alden.
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
Okay. We've moved to second and we adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.